Welcome to Digital Java Jive, a T360 podcast, enabling intelligent change in real estate. For more information, please visit t3marquee.com.
All right. Thank you, everybody. It's great to see you. We're glad to have another episode of Java Jive today with the rest of the technology team from T360. One of the traditions that Travis started early on when we were doing these is everybody kind of sharing what they're enjoying in their mugs today. I hate to admit it, but I'm enjoying some Diet Coke, which I have a deep addiction for and yearn for every once in a while. So I'm enjoying some of that here. Travis, what do you have today?
I'll continue that trend that Andrew despises, and I'm washing down some Diet Mountain Dew. So we got something in common there. Andrew, take us home. What are you drinking?
How about some locally roasted Peruvian blend coffee? Peruvian blend coffee. Emphasis.
Prem.
You guys are enjoying way too much holiday cheer. I think you're having too much fun over there. This is pure water right now.
Yeah, that'll come later.
I'd like to say mine was eggnog, but it's water also.
Well, you guys are much healthier than Travis and I, so we'll be dead much earlier than you guys. Well, you know, one of the things that we're excited to get started today is that the trends report is hitting everybody's desks in the past couple of weeks. And we obviously have a strong role that we play in writing it and helping to form the trends report. But our friends and colleagues at, from the intelligence and kind of research division of T3 do a tremendous job of putting that publication together. And one of the trends that they identified this most recent time, trend number three, which means it was the third most important trend of the upcoming year, was the buyer brokerage playbook. And that's an area that our team has been doing a lot of work in. And we've been doing work in that area kind of for a tangential reason, but it's interesting how all these things are kind of falling into place. And the reason we've been doing a lot of work there is because it's one of the three kind of areas that really impact brokerages. It's one of their core processes that they kind of provide. Obviously, they have a listing coordination process and they have a buyer value proposition process. And as all these brokerages strive to become more efficient, they've really had to focus on being more efficient with their resources because margins are narrowing, there's fewer transactions and things like that. We've been getting a lot of calls from our brokerage clients to say, hey, help us kind of take a look at our internal processes. Where can we use technology? Where can we tighten things up to be as effective as possible? And because of the emphasis that the lawsuits are putting on the buyer side, they've been spending a lot of time over there. So this chapter is really advantageous for everybody to take a look at and read. And I know it's one of the areas that when we're working on our brokerage clients, we try to go about it in a very methodical way so that we can teach brokerages kind of how to work their way through that process. And one of the things we often talk about is defining their current state as being the very first step in a five-step process. Often brokerages, they want to jump right to solution and we have to like say, slow down just a little bit. We want you guys to just go a little bit slower and understand what your current process is first so that we can then go in and figure out what needs to be fixed. And we've been doing this for several brokerages. We have engagements going on right now with several brokerages having us look at various aspects of that. So, you know, Travis, as we're digging in on these, what do you think some of the benefits that we've seen from kind of really focusing on defining that kind of a first step? I don't know. Who wants to go first?
Well, Andrew.
Yeah, Andrew, why don't you jump in there? Andrew, you've been on a lot of those interviews with me.
Yeah, so, you know, defining that first step is, you know, literally at the beginning, finding out how do you know to start your job? What is the trigger for you to start your job and begin the process? And I think that very few companies have the wherewithal to take a step back and analyze every single step. And not only analyze every single step, but understanding when one of the employees that's handling each step of the process along the way, when do you need to pause and dig deeper into their answer, right? So it's, you know, oh, I get some paperwork from someone. like, well, where does that paperwork come from? Or, you know, who's checking to make sure that it's signed and compliant? So, you know, just that is step number one for sure.
I think, Michael, we're seeing this stemmed off of our chapter in the trends, the tech guide as well, where we did the rise of the coordinators. And really, it goes back to the roots of this is what we're talking about here in the buyer broker's playbook is one of four core business systems. And there's actually more, there may be more minor, but there are four core business systems: inside sales, transaction coordination, listing coordination, and marketing coordination. And people call them all different things. We just got off with a firm that was like, their marketing coordination is also their listing coordination, or their listing coordination is also their transaction coordination. It's one of these four business systems. Yeah. Derek, will you pull up the slide on the process that we go through? And so whatever business system we have, we love to go through this, define the current state. And I didn't realize this when Michael came on board with this team that we were doing this following this same systematic process when we were doing full tech audits with brokerages. And now, because these business systems have gotten so important, especially with the new age we're living in with the buyer broker compensation lawsuits, the buyer workflow is so important that now we're kind of basically resetting and saying, let's define that current state. And so that's where Andrew is talking about, like, how does it even start? How does your buyer workflow start? What questions do we ask? And then ultimately, then it's like, okay, now that you've got a handle on that, and I love the old ninja, you know, if you don't focus on it and it expands, or if you can't measure it, then you can't grow it. That's kind of the same thing here, right, Michael? It's like, you got to measure it.
Yeah, I think the key here is, especially when you're trying to be efficient with resources and be able to communicate. I mean, the tentacles of this exercise kind of reach out into all the various parts of the organization. So as we're helping a brokerage kind of think about their buyer playbook, what we're really saying is, at its core, how do you offer value to buyers? And then, you know, as a part of that, you know, that whole process, how do you demonstrate that value? And how does the consumer realize that value? And so I think it reaches into the marketing department and how they communicate. So, you know, and I think that then goes, okay, is that enough value to justify the fees you're charging? Or how could we add more value? And one of the exercises that we talk about, Travis, you know, we did this with some web vendors, was if you had no listings on your website, how would you provide value to buyers? You know, and effectively, I argue that a home buyer can go on virtually any real estate website out in the industry and search listings, and the search experiences are pretty similar with some minor changes here and there, but for the most part, they're really different. So why would they go to your website versus Zillow or some other local brokerage? It may be they have some affiliation with the brand. They like your branding. They like the way you talk. Or it could be that you're providing some other services via your website. And so we challenge both our brokers and our website vendors to kind of think of new creative ways that they can demonstrate that. So, you know, and Prem, I know when you were doing a lot of work in the space with lead gen and websites and stuff like that, you probably had some thoughts about how you could kind of generate that kind of that value and demonstrate it and get buyers to lean in. What were some of the ways you saw back then doing that?
Well, we used to always tell, I think you posed it right, the question right, which is, why would a consumer go to a broker's website if there weren't listings? There's a lot of reasons. We spend a lot of time as an organization interfacing with our brokerage clients and them, you know, sharing with us how important their brand is in their local communities, which is absolutely true. And therefore, consumers are going to these brokerage sites for things beyond the listings. And so there's content that can be displayed or published that is not listing related, that's community related. Because if your brand is associated with the community and or you want to better position your brand within the community, think about the types of content that can be published on your website that have nothing to do with the listing. And I think that's a great, that is absolutely the seminal question. Like, pretend for a second you don't have access to MLS listings or listing data. Why would somebody come to your website? That's a great challenge.
Yeah. Even education, Prem, is another educational, not just community but educational materials for the buyers, for the sellers, for someone who is just interested in the process itself, I think is very valuable information on a website.
I'll tell you, I mean, since I'm like an old guy within the portal space, we used to think about, you know, our destination as not only house, but home, right? Think about all the content related to home that's not about the house or the listing. And that is sort of the destination that brokers are trying to create or establish within their local communities. That is a great challenge.
Yeah, we used to use a tagline, real estate is about more than four walls and a roof. Right. And it was basically the setup to then begin to talk about what it's like to live there. Right. You know, and all, like you're saying, from the house itself, the neighborhood, the coffee shops that are in the area and stuff like that. I think brokerages sometimes get lost trying to generate authentic new content for SEO purposes or whatever. And they forget that they need to connect it back to real estate. Like just having the greatest hamburger joint, you know, anywhere in your city is like, you know, that's kind of a weird combination of things for real estate. But if it's the best three hamburger joints that are walking distance to the house that you're wanting interested in, now we're talking, right? You know, and so things like that, I think, are a really interesting way to connect that information and really enhance the experience for the home buyer.
I think it's kind of interesting, Michael, that what is old is new again. When I first met you, what was this, 10 years ago, probably somewhere right in that range, maybe a little bit longer. But you were doing these things on Beverly Hank's website well before we started to document. So like if you ripped out the listings from Beverly Hank's website, there'd be still reason to go there. Beautiful housing market reports, beautiful communities, beautiful lifestyles, and interweaved into the communities, philanthropy, like some of that stuff that you piloted and spearheaded, you were doing it well before. Now I think to where we're at now, I still don't see much of that in the industry. It's kind of vanilla, vanilla, vanilla. And this website might have a little bit better housing market report. It's pretty sad, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's very resource dependent. I was lucky to work for a brokerage that, you know, senior leadership saw the value of that in the long term, and I think invested in that, and we benefited from it with a pretty successful lead funnel kind of demand generation, you know, strategy. But I think that's what it is. And as it gets harder to generate eyeballs, I think that's why the really smart brokerages are kind of going back to that. Like you said, they are realizing that they need to invest in those areas, that leads don't just fall off of trees. They have to be created and nurtured and affiliated. And then when they're ready, they'll lean forward, and then you get the opportunity to work with those people. So I think it's really kind of getting back to the leads just aren't falling off the trees like they were for a little while.
When we look at this wheel of Michael's awesomeness, that's what I'm going to call this. The wheel of Michael's awesomeness is, you know, in reality though, it's kind of like, what is your current process? That's number one. Analyzing the current state is really the what do we want it to be? And so that the questions that we're stating here is go through the process of just what it is, document it. Number two is, now that you know what it is, what do you want it to be? And this that has a lot of implications, but it's like, okay, we know we wanted to improve this piece of the process. Maybe it's new technology, maybe it's new AI, maybe it's just new processes, maybe it's new hiring, whatever that is, that's when you leave in the what do you want it to be? And then when you look at the future state optimizations, this is where Derek comes in pretty heavily, is we start to look at things like integration and data and AI and just ways to improve the process. And that's, so it's like a lens or a filter that you put on top of it. And I know, Derek, you spend a lot of time on data integrations. We're seeing a lot of the same things, aren't we, as we look across the current state of many brokerages, buyer workflows. Comment on that.
Yeah, well, you know, it kind of comes down to you can't engineer a plane or change the engineering of the plane while you're flying it. It gets difficult for people to look at their processes when they're working so hard at making sure that they adhere to the current process. So when we give them a chance to step back and actually look at that process, we find that there may be some things that they're doing multiple times that they could maybe do only one time. Or there's some data that's in one step of their process that could automatically be inserted into a future step that they have to re-enter again. So that's where we get a chance to provide and leverage automation and data flow to make their process much more efficient. And then they can take that and start working towards a future state, which allows the person who was doing that one thing to do something that's maybe more income generating or creating a better relationship, et cetera. So it really changes your process and your focus at a time when we can reimagine this whole buyer process with basically no limits, right? We're given a unique opportunity in the industry to reimagine this. And it's funny, like you said, it's kind of going back to the level of service that they provided way back before we really even had any kind of website, right? Yeah. Things that delivered value back then, deliver value today. But we kind of lean too much on tech sometimes to get there. Yeah. So we can free that up.
In January, my parting thoughts for this episode is in January, we're launching a fictitious story about a buyer agent named Emily who walks the client through in a traditional fashion what Emily does to take that buyer from start to finish. And the process, as you would imagine, is very reactive, very manual, very isolated, as in the data that Emily absorbs and pulls and uses is oftentimes kind of pushed to her from the buyer, and she has to react to that. And that's a very common process to work with a buyer right now. So the systems are weak. The workflows aren't defined. The ability to massage and leverage big data and stuff like that, really non-existent. So we wrote the new journey, and this is where it comes down to number four and five, is designing and implementing the future state. We took that same story and we said, how could AI write this new script for Emily, and how could it help her as a virtual assistant and a data assistant, and analyzing properties, suggesting new properties, suggesting new neighborhoods and stuff like that, stuff that Emily would have had to done manually, now powered by AI. So we're going to be excited to release that in January. So I guess that's a good parting thought for this episode of Digital Java Jive, is we're excited about the future. Team, we're in a great position to help brokerages process improve. And the buyer brokerage playbook and the trends report is a great resource for the industry. So go to t3trends.com and grab a copy of the trends report.
This has been Digital Java Jive, a podcast by the technology team at T360, empowering intelligent change in real estate brokerage technology.